28. Over the last couple of weeks, we have been looking at this passage of Scripture. In thinking about who we are as followers of Christ, we not only are becoming disciples or already are disciples, but we are called to make disciples. This is the commission that was given, is to go and make disciples of all nations. And so because of that, because that is the mission of our church, it is the mission of every church, it is the mission of each one of us as followers of Christ, then it is crucial that we understand it very clearly. What does this mean? What does it look like? What does this mean for me and you as individuals, but then even collectively as a church? And so that is why we are looking in this. My prayer is that right now, wherever you find yourself in your walk with the Lord, is that God would lead you to take steps that you will rely or trust in Him all the more. Maybe for the first time, or maybe in your walk with the Lord you have become distracted, or maybe even started to believe lies that the enemy tries to get us to believe. Some of us have just flat out been disobedient. Whatever the case is, it is my prayer that as we dive into the Word of God, as we learn and as we seek what God would have us to do, that we would begin to have a laser focus as to who God wants us to be and how we're to walk that out as individuals and as a church. So last week, we began to look at, in the Great Commission, there are really two aspects of it. There is the proclamation or the sharing of the good news, the gospel, about who Jesus is, what He has done for us. And then there is the making of disciples. It is the teaching to observe all that I have commanded you. And so today we're going to continue in with this discussion. Last week we looked at that these, in the example of Jesus and how He set up His disciples or apostles that followed Him, and in the example of the first church that we read of in Acts, that they best did this in small groups, very intentional groups that were committed to and kind of a controlled environment, if you will, where there was an accelerated growth in their lives. I believe that I've experienced this not only in my own life, but in walking through life with others. This is why we are called to be connected to each other, is because when you struggle or when you have an area of your life, when you are starting to believe a lie, it is through His church that He brings others around you to pray for you, to encourage you, or to just point you back to His Word. And so we all need this. And this is why He has gifted each one of us very differently and very uniquely, is because you are vital to the church. You are vital to edify and to build up and to encourage those around you. This is why we come together. This is why we are a body. And each of us, though there are many parts of the body, each of them are needed. And so in these discipleship groups, there are a few aspects of these groups that are needed and that we see in Scripture. The first one is that they are centered around truth. The Word of God is our authority. We hold to it. It is unchanging. The second thing that we saw last week is these are to be transparent relationships. In other words, rarely are we just real with somebody. And if we're never real or honest about some of the struggles in our life, how can God begin to work in them and correct them? And so transparent relationships are needed. And then the third aspect of that is accountability. We must be accountable to one another, or at least allow ourselves to be accountable to someone that we trust. That way they can ask us about how things are going and encourage us along in the journey. So we have a lot to get through, and so let's get started, if you will. If you would, don't mind standing, let's read Matthew 28. We'll start in verse 18. As mentioned before, I know it's a little awkward, but the heart is that we have this memorized by the time that we're done. So if you don't mind repeating it out loud with me as we go. We'll start in verse 18. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Father, as we have read your word, help us to understand this commission that you have given us. Lord, forgive us when we have become distracted or when we try to do things on our own. And so, God, we pray that as we begin to discuss what it means and we look at your example, help us to live out your example, that we look like you, that we seek to be like you. And so, Lord, I pray that we would be militant against the things that would interfere or come in the way, and that, God, that we would repent and turn from those things and look to you. So, God, we love you so much. We need you. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. Last week, we really focused on the go and make disciples, the evangelism part of sharing the gospel. We looked at the three circles and also the four elements of the gospel that we need to understand is that we have one God and he is good, but there's a problem. The problem is we are not good. The problem is we are sinners, therefore deserving of the wrath of God. But there is hope, right? He sent Jesus to come and to die in our place. And our hope is in him alone. But yet there is a decision. There is a decision that each one of us should make and must make in our lives and whether or not we are going to follow him. And so we looked at the three circles, and hopefully you have at least, at the very least, hopefully you filled that out with us last week. But my prayer is that you continue to work on that and able to share that with someone else. Today we are going to focus on baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. To me, especially when I first gave my life to the Lord, this idea of baptism was very weird to me because I really didn't know why we do it. I really thought that it was just kind of a ritualistic thing that we did where I stand in front of everybody. I was excited to do it, but I really didn't know why. And so over the years, I've really sought to understand, why is this? What is the purpose of it? I know that just in the little bit of church that I had growing up in Catholic church, I knew that there was sprinkling, and even at one point I had a family member say that, you know, my kids were going to go to hell because they haven't been baptized yet. And so I just say that to say, what is the purpose? Why are we going? Why is he calling us to go and baptize? And so, to start off, let's get a clear understanding of not only historically, but biblically, what it means to be baptized. We must start with the word itself, baptize. The word comes from, and at least in the original language, is baptizo. It is a word that means immersed or submerged. And so clearly in the word itself gives us a clear picture as to the method in which we are to do. And so with that in mind, there is this immerse or to submerge. Other definitions would be to cleanse by dipping or submerging, to wash or to make clean with water. And so when we think of it in those ways, we first need to look at when we start to see it in the Word of God. It first comes to us in the New Testament anyway with John the Baptizer or John the Baptist. Sometimes we like to say, well, that's the first Baptist right there, right? No, it's not the truth. It's the John the Baptizer, right? He came and he had this message of repent. And he preached this message to baptize and to repentance. And so let's start there and look there. So if you will, flip back with me to Luke chapter 3. If you're in Matthew, flip to the right, or you'll come a couple of books to Luke. And you'll see Luke chapter 3 is where we'll be. Let's start in verse 2. So he starts off in chapter 3, and he's kind of given us a time period, and he lists the leaders and who's in charge. And then he comes to verse 2, and it says, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness, and he went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be straight, and the rough places shall become level ways. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God. He said, therefore, to the crowds that came out to be baptized by him, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits in keeping with repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children of Abraham. Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So here, hang with me, okay? Here, what he is saying is, it's talking about John the Baptizer coming with a message. He quoted from Isaiah because he is prophesied that he is going to come and lead the way. Someone who is coming from the wilderness, and he is going to lead the way of the Lord. And so he comes with this message to be baptized to repent. Now, historically, this was not the first time that we see baptism. Actually, it had been practiced by the Jews for hundreds of years before this. And it was done because when Gentiles wanted to come and become a Jew, what they would do is they would need to be baptized. It was a way that they would turn from their life, living wrong or false, and they would turn to God and his plan, and to say, I believe that this is the one true God, and so therefore I'm going to live for him. And so now, as John is coming to preach this to Jews who are already Jews because they are sons of Abraham, he is saying, don't just call yourself sons of Abraham, but instead you need to repent, because you have been living falsely. Now, we know that they were living falsely because even the high priests were not done according to the word of God. It says that Annas and to Caiaphas were the high priests at this time. Actually, Annas was the high priest, but now he's not. And Caiaphas, which is his son-in-law, is the high priest. Both of these men were appointed by a Roman, not even a Jew at all. And so John's message is one of repentance. You hypocrites, you people who call yourselves one thing but live differently, you brood of vipers, repent. Turn to the Lord. Turn from the way that you are living and turn to the Lord. But yet pointing to, there will be one who will come who will baptize not with water but with the Spirit of fire. You see him pointing to Jesus, even going so far as to say he's even unfit to tie his sandals. So hear the message of John. When he comes to baptize, is one, it is a baptism that the Jews already know about. It is one of repentance. It is one of turning from the way that you're living and turning to God. So therefore, when Jesus comes and he tells us, you and I, then his disciples, to go and to baptize into the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, he is saying to go and to proclaim a repentance, a message, and help them to show that by turning from their way of life, and now turning and identifying with Jesus, that he is the one true God, the Son of God. Are you tracking with me? So now when he tells us to go and to baptize, that's what he's saying. He's saying help people to understand that they are to turn from their way of living and to identify with Jesus. Identify that he is the Son of God. He is God in the flesh. He is the one true God. And so now, understanding a little bit of the history, we see now that this baptism in which Jesus has called us to is to one of, in many ways, of the same, of turning away from and turning to, but goes far beyond. You see, Jesus came and he not only commanded us to baptize with water, but it is one that is a supernatural baptism. It is one that is baptism within the Holy Spirit. When you and I surrender our lives to Christ, he places himself in us. And we have then the Holy Spirit now with us. There was a sequence that happened always, at least when we see in the Word of God in the New Testament. There first came belief, and then there became baptism. A few of these, just to look at real quickly, we see in Acts. In Acts chapter 2, verse 41, in the day of Pentecost, when Peter stood to preach, it says that, so those who received the word were baptized, and there were added that day 3,000 souls. Or in Acts chapter 8, verse 12, it says, But when they believed Philip as he preached good news about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Or in Acts 8:36, this is talking of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. It says, "Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with the scripture in which the Ethiopian eunuch was reading, he told him the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, 'See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized?' And then he was baptized." Or in Acts chapter 16, verses 14 and 15, talking about Lydia, who was a woman who sold purple goods, and she was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart and to pay attention, pointing to the fact that she believed in this moment, and said to Paul, "And after she was baptized, her and her household as well, she urged us, saying, 'If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay.'" And so we see there was a sequence that happened after this proclamation, is that there would be belief, and then there would be a show of life in which, throughout the Bible, that they would say, "I am identifying with Jesus." So now what does that mean, to be identified with Jesus? This is huge, and it's crucial that you and I understand this, not only as we go and to baptize others, but to understand who we are, because this speaks to not only what we do, but who we are. And when we understand who we are, then we'll know what to do. And so when we see what baptism is, if we're going to identify with Jesus, it is through baptism that we are buried and raised with Christ. If you would, turn your Bibles with me back to the right over to Romans chapter 6. I'm going to start in, I'll just read the whole thing. We'll start in verse 1. "What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we, who died to sin, still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus." So here it is. Are you ready? When you and I picture, believe in Christ and show that we identify with Jesus, we are saying that we, like Christ, have died. We have been buried with Christ, and just as he rose from the dead, victorious over sin and death, we too now have been raised with him. We are no longer slaves to sin. Don't miss that. So when you become a slave to sin, it is by choice now. It is not because you have to be. You have been set free from that sin. So when you and I engage in sin, it is no longer our nature. It is now choice. Does that make sense? Because we now have been raised to walk newness of life. We now are to walk as Jesus walked. Colossians 2, flip back to the right a few. Look at Colossians. Colossians Colossians 2:12 says it this way. I'll read 11 and 12. In him also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands. In other words, by the Holy Spirit. Okay? Putting off the body of the flesh by circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead. In other words, you were buried with Christ and raised with Christ. Not only were we buried and raised with Christ, but through baptism we put on Christ. This is beautiful. Flip over to Galatians now, back to the left. I know we're jumping around here. I apologize. Galatians chapter 3, listen to what he says here. Look at verse 26. For in Christ Jesus you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. We have put him on. We now, because we have been identified with Jesus, we are to walk as Jesus walked. We are to allow him to live in and through us. 1 Corinthians, we don't have time to turn there, but you can write this down and go look at it. But also, by baptism, we become part of the body of Christ. He comes that says that as we are baptized, we now are part of this body of Christ, talking about the church. We are identified with Jesus, therefore, we are part of him. I love what he says in Galatians 2, where we have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. You see, when you and I now have trusted and believed in Jesus, we are saying, I am dead. I am no more. But now Christ who is in me is going to live in and through. So this is why over and over I have challenged us. This is why we must abide in Christ. This is why we just sang in our time of worship, Lord, I need you. Because this calling that he has on our lives to live as Jesus lived, we cannot do on our own. It will require faith, and it will require you and I to surrender our lives to him. So we need him. We run to him, and we follow him. And so this call is to live out our lives by example. This call to go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, we must model that. Because if we are going to go and proclaim anything, our lives should match the message. Don't miss that. If you have identified with Jesus, it means that his name is now upon you. You bear his name. You are a child of God now. That means that wherever you go, the things that you do, you take the name of Jesus. If you bear the name of Jesus but yet look nothing like Jesus, that is a mixed message and a confusing one to this world and to the people who are around us. Wait. Don't you claim to be a believer, a follower of Jesus? Well, that doesn't look like Jesus. Which is why, even in our time this morning in our Bible study, it was a call to be holy. Why? Because he is holy. We are called to be holy because Jesus is holy. We identify with Jesus. We put him on. We now have died to sin. We've been crucified with Christ. We are raised to walk now as Jesus walked. And we sit here and we say, yeah, but that's impossible. No one can do that. And that may be true. But we should do any and everything we can to look as much like him. We should be militant against sin. We should be militant against the things that might creep in. We should be militant against the things that could be in any way an offense against our marriage, against our family, against our name, against our faith, anything. We should recognize it and we should make sure that it has no place in our lives. This is why if your right arm causes you to sin, he says, cut it off. Your eye causes you to sin, gouge it out. He says, listen. You know why? We're getting ready to see. Turn with me now. The last place will be John chapter 17. This is Jesus getting ready to go to the cross, and he is praying for his disciples. In praying for his disciples, and I believe in the same way praying for you and I, we will see much of what he is now helping us to understand. If we are going to live as Christ, it means that we live out his character. We live out the things in which he has called us to live. Verse 6 is where we'll start. Jesus here praying, he says, and talking to the Father, he says, I have manifested your name to the people whom you have given me out of the world. I've manifested your name. In other words, Jesus is saying that I have showed them who you are, God. I have lived it in front of them. Isn't it awesome that we have this great example in Jesus of what it looks like to be the hands and feet of God? We can see it. We can look to the stories and identify those. He tells his disciples in verse 9, he says, as he's talking to God, he says, I am praying for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. What great encouragement that we have a Savior who is interceding on our behalf, praying for us that we will live out this name in which he has manifested before us, that you and I will live out that as well. Over and over, we don't have time to dive into, but man, it's so good. As he is over and over praying, God, help keep them in your name. Lord, I have kept them. I've shown them your word. I've given them these things. Lord, keep them. I don't pray for them, just them, but also those who will believe because of their message, he says. That's of you and me. He's praying for us that we will live out what his calling. In verse 10, he says that all mine are yours and yours are mine. And he says, and I am glorified in them. That Jesus is glorified in the way that you and I live out his characteristics in our lives. In verse 11, he prays again that God would keep them in his name. In verse 13, he says that, but now I'm coming to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. He's saying, God, Father, I'm getting ready to come to you, but they're going to remain, and I pray that they will be fulfilled, their joy will be fulfilled as they live this out. Look down at verse 20. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. Verse 22, the glory that you have given me, I have given to them. Jesus has given us his glory. He says that they may be one, even as we are one. I and them and you and me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you have sent me and love them even as you have loved me. When I was at All-Star, Walker said it this way. He said, I am my Father's favorite child. He says here, Jesus just said that they would know, that we would know, that God loves us, you and I, as much as he loves Jesus. So I am my Father's favorite child. He loves me as much as he does Jesus. Isn't that awesome? Some of you need to hear that today. You're pretty hard on yourself. And I just want you to know, you have a Father who loves you. And he loves you as much as he loves his Son. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter what you've been involved in. He loves you. It doesn't matter what someone else has said to you or what they've done to you. You have a Father who loves you. And he has a plan for you. So, when we see here that Jesus is helping us to understand who we are in him, that we are to live his life, it is vital because you and I, as we live out this life that Jesus has called us to, they will see Jesus in us. And as they see Jesus in us, even Jesus right here says that they will believe that Jesus was sent from the Father. So, this is what it looks like. Last week we looked at in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, that we have been reconciled to God because of Jesus, right? And because of that, you and I have a ministry. Say, I have a ministry. You and I have a ministry. And this ministry is now a ministry of reconciliation. We are now going to help people understand that there is a God who loves them so much that he sent Jesus. And so we baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit so that they too can identify with Jesus and live out his life as they live. That it would no longer be them who live, but Christ who lives in them. This is why we baptize. And as we are identified in him, we continue to trust him and allow him to live through us. And as we do, he has given us everything that we need. Look at verse 26. I made known to them your name, and I will continue to make it known, that the love with which you have loved me may be in them and I in them. The same promise that he gave in the Great Commission, I will be with them always to the end of the age, he promises even here, I will be in them. You and I have everything we need to live this life that Christ has called us to live. He has given us himself. And so what does this look like? You and I are called to do Jesus ministry. Right now, as you have worshiped him, that is something that Jesus did. Jesus ministry. As you leave here, wherever it is that you go, whether it's home or to a restaurant or out shop, whatever it is that you do, you need to know that you're going and doing Jesus ministry. Tomorrow, whether you go to school or to work or into the community or just talk to a neighbor, Jesus ministry. The next day, Jesus ministry. As you show love to someone, you are allowing Jesus to live in and through you. You are doing Jesus ministry. This is the calling upon our lives. But the problem is, when you don't look like Jesus, your ministry is robbed. When you don't look like Jesus in your life, the enemy, what he has done is he has taken your ability to be able to testify as to how good Jesus is. Because when they look at your life, it's a confusing message. And so what does that mean? Does that mean we beat ourselves up? No. What it means is that we decide from this day forward, Jesus, I want to look like you. And then when we fail tomorrow, you know what we do? Jesus, from this day forward, I'm going to look like you. And then next week, when we have an ultimate fail, you know what we do? We come to Jesus and we say, Jesus, I repent. I am so sorry. And then we say, from this day forward, I am going to look like you. And listen, there's going to be a failure on down, and daily you're going to fail. But what we do is we become repenters, where we run to Jesus and we say, God, I am turning from the ways that I've let my life look like anything other than you, and we run to him. And we say, Jesus, I need you. Listen, this is all of us. There is not one of us sitting here who has this together. This is all of us. We run to him and we repent. And we say, Jesus, I have made a commitment that I'm going to identify with you, and so here I am. And listen, there are some of you right now who are in the midst of sin or are getting ready to be. And I just want you to know, cut it off. Repent, run to him, go to his feet, stop. If I can tell you as your loving pastor, stop. Don't do it. It may not be quite the point where you're a point of no return. I'm saying stop. Don't. Don't let it. Because listen, there are people out there who need your testimony. They need your message to be able to point them to Jesus. Over and over, listen, he tells us to be ready, always be prepared to give a reason for the hope that you have in Jesus. Hope in him, trust him, look to him. I love how Paul put it in 1 Corinthians 10:31. He says, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, whatever mundane thing you do in life, do it all to the glory of God. Give no offense to Jews or to Greeks or to the church of God. Just as I try to please everyone in everything I do, not seeking my own advantage, but that of many. Why? That they may be saved. Imitators of me as I am of Christ. Can you say that? Can you say that with Paul? Is, hey, come follow me because I am pursuing Christ. I've identified with Jesus. I've been crucified with him. And so now I'm going to live for him and what I do. So come follow me because I'm following after him. Can you say that whatever it is that you're doing, you're seeking and trying with all that you can to do it for His glory? Now listen, we can hear messages like this and be like, man, He's put all this burden on me. You know what? You know what? It is so freeing. You know why? Because Jesus says that He is there with us. This is the freeing part. We can look at the burden of the sin that I need to turn from and turn from it. But Jesus says, I am there with you to the end of the age. He gives us the grace in that moment to overcome sin. He gives us grace in that moment when we call to Him to say no to that temptation. He gives us grace in that moment to say no to that person who pursues. He gives grace in that moment to say, no, no, I'm going to trust Jesus. No, here I am. Lord, I want to seek after You. Every day, Jesus today, it's Jesus ministry. What are you doing today? Jesus ministry. What are you going to do tomorrow? I'm going to wake up and I'm going to allow Jesus to live in and through me. I'm going to abide in Him. When He tells me to go, I'm going to say yes. When I fail, I'm going to run to His feet and apologize and trust Him all the more. This is the calling that He has upon us. So when He says go and baptize, He's saying go. And help people to identify with me, to turn from their life that they've been living and trust and run after Jesus and allow Jesus then to live in and through. This is the calling. This is what He called us to do. So we trust Him. It's hard. That's why we need Jesus. It's difficult. No one else is doing it. It's against the grain. It is a completely going the opposite way. That's why Jesus says it is a narrow gate and only a few find it. There's a broad gate where many are on, but there's a narrow one. Trust Him. I wish we had time. There are great ways to see where Jesus was the hands and feet. I love where the man was born blind and Jesus spit and wiped mud on his eyes, told him to go. Could you imagine just the hands of Jesus in that, the dirty? And I love what He said. He says, we must work the works of Him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. Hands of Jesus. When a woman was caught in adultery, Jesus kneels down and writes in the dirt and showing love to her, and He says, who condemns you? And she says, no one. He says, neither do I. Go and sin no more. Or as Jesus is getting ready to go to the cross, being God, having all authority, given the name that at one day every knee will bow, every tongue will confess, this is what God did. Got on His hands and knees and He washed His disciples' feet, giving you and me the example of what the hands and feet of God look like. If we are going to identify with Jesus, then we should look like Jesus. Even in Romans 10, where He's talking about that people who are sent will preach, and when they preach, people will hear, and when they hear, they'll believe, and anyone, when they believe, they'll call upon the name of the Lord. I love when He says, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. You and I are called to be the hands and feet of Christ. We're to identify with Him. We're to live out the example of Jesus. One of my favorite passages is in 1 John chapter 2. It says that, if you love me, you obey my commands. The man who says that he loves me but does not obey my commands is a liar, and the truth is not in him. And on down he says, he who follows me must walk as Jesus walked. I love that. We're to abide in Jesus, to where through His power and His strength, He comes through us. He loves through us. He lives through us. He forgives through us. He proclaims the good news through us. Let's get before the Lord. Father, we bow before You and we acknowledge that You are God. Lord, we acknowledge our weakness and our need for You. We acknowledge that, Lord, we can't be the fathers that You have called us to be. We can't be the husbands that You have called us to be. We cannot be the warriors, the proclaimers that You have called us to be. But Jesus, through You, and only through You, there is grace that is given. And because because we are weak, that is when we are strong. And so, God, help us to rely upon you. So I pray for the wives, the ladies, the men, the children. Help us, Lord, to trust you, to be the husbands, the wives, the children, the men and women of God that you have called us to be, that we would rely upon you so much that you live in and through us. And God, I pray that as Paul said, that he lives his life as an example of Christ in such a way so that many would be saved. I pray, Father, that we too would seek after you so much that people see the hope in our lives because they see you in us. God, I pray that there is someone here that does not know you. Lord, that you would speak to their hearts right now. Call them to yourselves. God, we love you. We need you. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray.